Welcome back to Winning Through Culture.
Amanda, it's great to be with you today. You know, there's a theme that I have seen coming up in some of our episodes with our guests over the last several months about vulnerability and authenticity. And what does that mean? How does that show up? So I thought it'd be fun to do an episode together, just talk about our experiences in that area and share some insights we've had.
Agreed. On board. Let's do it.
Let's go. A theme that comes up a lot in many of our podcasts is this idea of authenticity and transparency, communication. And I think it's a really interesting topic that can be misconstrued and misapplied with some rather harrowing consequences. And I think it might be a great topic to really take a crack at unpacking from at least our perspective in a relatively small business, certainly not a large public company.
Right.
And what does that look like?
Well, there is that line, like again, where being vulnerable and being transparent, there's a helping and a hindering component to that from a cultural standpoint.
What do you see, Amanda, as, let's start with the hindering part of that. What's the hindering part?
You get to a place where, at least what I'm seeing, is that every party, no matter their role or responsibility, you do want them to have a voice, but when their opinion or their stake or their particular stand on an issue is not the consensus, is not what is being moved forward with, I fear that that could create a sense of small at times, but a growing resentment, especially as you have the conversation about retention. You want to have the ability to have people have dialogue and constructive conversation, but also know that there is a decision point that has to be come against.
Yeah, I think about an episode we did with Sean Farrell recently where this exact topic came up and he was talking about getting feedback. And if you have 100 people and 95 of them are affirming the feedback in a positive way and five are not, do you pay attention to 95 or the five?
Yeah. Oh, well, as I share with you, when I go into the culture conversations for our organization, I have no idea where on the spectrum I'm going to receive the feedback. So you have to be open to, you're going to get the good and the bad and sometimes the ugly. And are you okay with that? And what are you, out of the themes over the course of those 100, if you have 100 employees, what do you focus on?
Yeah. And I think the relevant point is that ultimately, part of the purpose of a culture and being intentional is to define what the organization stands for and what's important and what's a priority. And that the very act of doing that may make it very clear as to who is and is not a fit as an employee in that culture.
Right.
And I think the business owner's got to be comfortable by their intentionality of defining that, that it is going to probably clarify who is and isn't going to be a fit. And as you and I have talked about, not only in previous episodes, but offline, you know, what do you do when you have that person that's a really high performer and it's not a good fit for the culture?
Mm-hmm.
How do you balance that?
Well, and the thing is that culture is felt. So it's not something that you and everybody does, right? You put your core values on the wall or whatever, and those are words and that's wonderful. But it's really about how your employees or your associates or whatever terminology you use, how they respond in those critical and crucial situations and or dialogues. And it's not lost on me that, and this happened years ago, so it's something I'm comfortable talking about now, but I literally had a culture conversation where someone flat out told me that we were simply a step in their process, that we were almost like in a holding for them, that this wasn't where they intended to be for a long period of time. And meeting that person where they were in that moment was hard because I'm like, why wouldn't you want to be here for 20 plus years? It's amazing, right? But at the same time, for that person, we were their best next step.
Well, that was authentic.
Yeah, they absolutely
got the
were
truth there,
right. Like, we're absolutely authentic.
I'm only
with
here
me.
To use the organization for my personal, you know.
Yeah. I mean, but you never know what you're going to get, is my point in those dialogues. So you have to be willing to accept that and be vulnerable that you might get some feedback that you're not prepared for, comfortable with, or ready to do anything about.
Or I think in some instances, maybe not in a position to do anything about.
Well, yeah, that's also a very good point.
which I think gets into the whole art of, if you're going to get feedback, make sure you ask the right questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you ask questions that you don't have any control over the outcome of, or have very little influence over, or leading people down a negative path, you might get some challenging responses that put you in a position where you can't do anything about it.
Well, and that's an interesting dialogue to have about what you have control over versus what you have influence over. Mm-hmm. And so whoever is receiving that feedback, especially if you're in a small organization, who are you empowering to have those dialogues? If it's not you as the business owner, mm-hmm. who is that person? And what have you equipped that person with to effectively have these conversations?
Yeah. And I mean, I think the whole who that person is has got to be somebody that creates a sense of psychological safety and trust.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the very act of having a culture conversation, the way you and I are discussing it, which is a confidential, safe place
right.
to articulate how people see the organization so that that information can then be shared back to the ownership of the business in a
thematic way.
Thematic
That's
way.
That's how we approach it.
Yeah, yeah. Versus a specific, this person said that way. That's a challenge.
It is.
But it's also an opportunity. So we've talked a little bit about the hindrance of this, but you mentioned earlier that there's an upside to that. So what do you see as some of the upsides to this notion of fostering a transparent and authentic culture through communication and interactions?
Well, I think if you have built the foundation for a sense of trust and belonging, it goes leaps and beyond the work product that is being produced. It's built into the relationships that the associates, employees, contractors, whatever terminology, whatever type of person that you have as part of your organization is able to develop, and it extends beyond the four walls of the office. And we've had a lot of episodes. It's hard to believe that the pandemic started over 3 years ago, and we have evolved as, I think, a workforce and as a population and as humans in general about how to interact with each other through that. And I don't think that we're ever going back to what was normal before. We have a new normal.
Yeah.
And so when you talk about being vulnerable as a leader, as a business owner, as a small business, you have the ability to ebb and flow with the employees, with those that are part of your community. And that is one of the one things that I continue to see as a help. They feel involved. There's a commonality. There's a language that's being used that did not previously exist when you have that ability to be slightly more vulnerable. But at the same time, you have to be conscious of how that is showing up inside the workplace, because there's still something that has to be produced. If you produce something, there still has to be human energy and capital that's being expelled to move your business forward. So balancing that, I think, is very important.
So when you think about authenticity and vulnerability, let's take them one at a time. What does vulnerability look like in a workplace setting that's appropriate?
It's a very good question. I would say it's different. It's one of those lovely things where you kind of have to sit in what's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And the vulnerability is maybe it's a touch more than what you were comfortable with sharing the day before.
Okay.
But it can't be to the point that it would impede the potential growth of the organization. How do you see vulnerability in a business?
I mean, I think it's a willingness to share what one might be thinking in a constructive way.
Yes.
And knowing that what you're sharing may not be what people think is something that should be shared. So let me elaborate on that, because that's an odd statement if it's taken at face value. If I am a leader and I am struggling with a particular topic or a person in the organization, you know, this kind of gets into crucial conversations and having courage, but I think it's important to be able to share with that person, you know, where you are and what's going on and how that either is impacting you or the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it really helps when that other person is self-aware and is open to it, because that might not go well otherwise. But the vulnerability is taking the risk as the leader or any individual to share that, what most likely will be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the underlying issue, Amanda, is if it's feeling a little bit uncomfortable, then it's probably in the realm of vulnerability. Now, I think to your point about, say, boundaries, I mean, you don't need to share things that are inappropriate or not going to really help the business move forward or that individual move forward. I think that's an important distinction here is this isn't about finding ways to tell people things that you would otherwise not share with them. This is in the context of either helping that person grow and get better or the business grow and get better, both get better.
Or help them respond to a situation.
Yeah, to deal with a situation. So I think vulnerability requires courage. It requires trust. And I think that's another piece we can touch on in a moment is if the underpinning of your culture is distrustful, it's going to be almost impossible to be vulnerable and or be vulnerable, not taken advantage of.
True. Well, it's very true. And, you know, during our time at home is what I'll refer to it as. And again, we utilize a lot of our daily experiences to share with our listeners about things we've done that have gone really well, things that maybe have not landed as well. You know, we're very upfront to say that we are in no way, shape, or form perfect as an organization. We are continually working on being intentional about our culture. And that means that sometimes we try something and it works or it doesn't work. And that's okay. But we did, I think, have a very successful ability to have a group of people come together and talk about a book that you had read. And it was the whole concept of the comfort crisis.
Yeah.
And getting out of that space. And again, that was a very particular situation that not everybody would put themselves in. However, if you're interested, it definitely is a book worth reading. But at the end of it, it's putting yourself in a situation where death is not the option, right? You will succeed through this experience, but it will challenge you mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And so honestly, that encompasses for me what being vulnerable is. Mm-hmm. And one of those four or multiple or all four in that dialogue with that person or that team, you have the ability to lean into whether you want to be emotionally vulnerable, physically vulnerable in some way. I mean, the list goes on, but really keeping that as a construct of how you approach critical scenarios and dialogues that have to happen.
Yeah, Michael Easter's The Comfort Crisis book you referenced is one of the better books I've read in the last few years. Mm-hmm. He has a blog now called The 2% Club, and he'd make a great guest on this podcast.
He would.
But I think that underpinning of if it's comfortable, it's probably not going to, you know, my talk I gave last month was growth and comfort cannot coexist. Yeah, it's a true statement.
Well, you mentioned earlier about how your foundation of your culture, if it is one of trust, how in the world does a leader go about doing that? Because building trust, right, takes mm-hmm. time. And so if you are at the beginning of your culture journey, if you are redefining what it looks like because you're unhappy with it or you've gotten feedback, there are adjustments that need to be made, how do you go about building trust as a leader? That's a very, very large topic.
We could do an entire episode on that, and maybe we will now that you brought it up. But I think that, you know, the reality is, and there's lots of studies being done on trust now because it's such a deficit in our society at every level. And that's a sad statement, but it's a reality. But I think the underpinning of trust is back to authentic, clear communications. It's being honest and direct. So it's not the fringes of our society and all these hyperbole of statements, but it's really ultimately how people show up consistently. And ultimately, do people honor their word? And if you can get into a rhythm, I mean, again, one of our earlier episodes was with Tom Shea, and his mantra is honor your word and never quit on yourself. And trust is about honoring your word. It's about being consistent. It's about, again, being authentic, meaning show up who you are. I appreciate a person that can be a jerk, that's consistently a jerk, or someone that says they're not a jerk, but really is.
It is, yeah.
And you might not trust the person that's a jerk all the time, but you at least know where they stand.
Right. And you know where you stand with them.
Yeah. And there's the consistency. And I think that's the issue with trust is people are used to hearing somebody say something and then watching them do something very different.
Well, culture is 100% observed and felt. And I know we've talked about that in the past, but it is much more than you're watching your leader, and I'll just say as an employee, yeah, right? You're sitting there, you're watching your leader do the opposite of what they have said. And that right there is telling you what your culture is.
Well, it's inauthentic for sure. It's obviously not vulnerable because there's a high ego driving that dynamic. And it is going to undermine and or destroy trust and credibility. Yeah, they go together usually. And I think that's, again, the whole idea of authenticity and vulnerability is those are two tools that used appropriately will build trust, will build relationships, and will endure some of the more difficult times that are inevitable in any person's life and or their business life.
Yeah. Well, and how you go about building trust, I think beyond that C-suite level or, you know, business leader or owner of an organization going all the way down to what would be, and I'm putting this in air quotes, the informal leader. So the conversation after the meeting, the meeting after the meeting, the call after the meeting, it's when those informal leaders, whether they have that title or not in the organization, they're the ones that are helping move that culture either forward or backward. So having the ability to have very, I think, vulnerable conversations and identifying who those informal, air quotes, leaders are in your organization can significantly impact the helping that the vulnerable-based trust that you can extend to an individual extends tenfold into the employees beyond that person if you can have that relationship and dialogue with them.
Yeah, I mean, one of my personal beliefs is everybody's a leader. They may not have a positional leadership role.
Right.
But everybody's a leader because if you, again, I've always believed John Maxwell's definition of leadership, which is influence. Leadership is influence. Everybody influences everyone. So
it's very true.
To your point, Amanda, if it's the meeting after the meeting, as we like to say, and somebody is agreeing in the meeting to a certain course of action the team has agreed upon, but then after the meeting goes to speak to three people about their disagreement with it, that is inauthentic,
mm-hmm,
and it's undermining trust, and it's a corrosive element to your culture, because if everybody realizes that everybody's a leader because they influence other people, they realize, oh, okay, as a leader, I've got a certain responsibility as to how I show up. So if I don't have the courage to articulate in the meeting that I don't agree with this, but I have the courage, you know, one-on-one to go around the office and poo-poo the whole plan, that's a real problem.
Yeah.
And it's a common problem.
Right.
I mean, unfortunately, and I think, again, the whole premise of creating a winning culture is to get those conversations to happen in the room where they need to happen, and then for the leader to respond in a way that the person feels heard and that you can work through it.
Right. And it doesn't mean that it's everyone's going to be in agreement all the time.
Yeah,
disagreement is necessary. You need to have healthy conflict.
Yeah. This is not about everybody just getting in line.
And right. Well, and providing tools for everyone in your organization to have that healthy, almost discourse, right? So you have the ability to utilize what we've talked about. And again, these are things we use all the time. So it's just natural. But, you know, the concept of radical candor, I care deeply about you as an individual, mm-hmm, so much so that I'm willing to confront the situation at hand. I cannot let this pass without sharing how I feel, how I see the situation unfolding, whatever that might look like. Yeah. But stepping into, I think, acknowledgement, and I know this has been really helpful for me in those conversations, in those crucial conversations, because a lot of times I just kind of, I let it sit with me and then I need to process it. And I've had to process faster. So I am in the meeting saying, mm-hmm, where I am and my opinion on either how something's going to unfold or, you know, the other side of the coin, so to speak, of what that situation might entail for the cultural impact in the organization, mm-hmm, and leaning into the ability to acknowledge, okay, at this point, I'm leaning into radical candor, giving yourself that validation to speak up and say that, and making sure that the people that are in your organization have that space, have that safety, and, mm-hmm, knowing that you doing that is not a poor reflection of you as an individual. It's you actually leaning into a core value, yep, that is extremely important in the organization.
Well, and I think you can always go back. The key is going back,
yeah,
to where it started versus going back to three or four people where you're sharing your disagreement with the decision that was made. So One of the things that Stephen Covey wrote about in The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People was this concept of the emotional bank account, which does really speak to trust. But I think that, again, that authenticity, one of the seven habits is seek first to understand, then be understood, which is a great way to really allow people to be vulnerable and feel safe and heard. That definitely becomes the underpinning of a really healthy culture and a winning culture, as we like to say. But ultimately, it's no easy task, and it requires daily in the moment decisions, because there are really hard things that come up. And I think for some people, it's just easier to say, I'm going to bite my tongue, shut up and do my job and move on. But that's not going to really get the culture moving forward.
Yeah. Well, and at the end of it, I mean, that's the whole intentionality behind a leader, is to progress. So whatever that might look like for the organization, having that ability to have those healthy conflict dialogues really allows for that almost creative growth to happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's an organic, ever-evolving process, and there will be two steps forward and one step back.
Yeah. Or a couple steps sideways.
Or sideways, yeah.
It's like a side shuffle some days.
It's definitely not a linear. Yeah.
No, it's definitely not linear.
A linear thing. I think that's, again, one of the things we talk a lot about in our episodes, or we hear from our guests, is that consistency is absolutely critical.
Yeah. Well, and you're building boundaries, whether you realize it or not, because how people tend to expect you to show up, if you are consistent in that way, especially as a leader, and we're saying that everybody is, right? And they are. But there's almost, it's a sense of safety and trust and a sense of belonging, because you know that you can be exactly who you are. You are accepted for who you are, and you have the ability to help progress your community, your environment, whatever that might look like forward.
Yeah.
So throughout this episode, we've really talked about how you lean into the line of being vulnerable, transparent, but also with the intention to move your business forward. And I hope that, you know, there's a couple of books we discussed and tools we talked about to equip those that are around you to have more constructive dialogues. And with that being said, is there anything that you would add as you're building an organization, continuing to evolve a culture, that is important to keep in mind as you lean into being vulnerable?
Yeah, I mean, I think, Amanda, you have to ultimately make a decision. And quite frankly, the decision can be you're not going to do this because it's hard, it doesn't feel right, it doesn't feel safe, whatever. That's a decision. But my encouragement is to not decide, just kind of, we'll see. It's either decide you're not going to do it, or decide, no, we're going to do this and it's going to be hard. And then look for resources. I mean, I mentioned a couple of them. Brené Brown is another great resource on this topic.
Yeah.
You know, there's great business coaches out there that help leaders and businesses tackle this. But I think the truth is, in my mind, that currency of trust is a very valuable currency in business today. It's unfortunately a very rare currency in business today, or in our society. And for those business owners and leaders that can authentically build a culture of trust, build a place that people can be vulnerable, you're going to get better outcomes.
Agreed.
You're going to have better conversations. You're going to build a more solid team, and you're going to move the business forward more successfully in a more sustainable fashion. And so I think it's worth the effort, but it clearly is something you've got to make a decision on. Don't be kind of in the middle on this one. It's like, well, maybe sometimes we will, sometimes we won't. And again, there's boundaries here. We're not saying throw everything on the table and tell everybody everything that, you know, because if they don't have context and or they're not in a position to hear it or do anything about it, it could freak people out.
Agreed.
Some information can. So you've got to give it the right
guidepost.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
It. Absolutely.
And I know we didn't get into that today, but I think every situation is a little unique. This was kind of tackling this topic at a 30,000 foot level. But
right.
You know, it's an important topic, and it's an important part of building a healthy winning culture.
Well, and you have to make that decision every time. And you mentioned that. Like, you can't decide that I'm going to be vulnerable now and not vulnerable later. Like,
yeah. I mean, you could, but it's going to create a high level of unpredictability.
Yeah. A little bit of anxiety. Yeah, right. Yeah. Or distress.
Like, who's showing up today?
Right. So consistency, I think, is ultimately the key, especially as you're working to build a, and if that's what your goal is to have a high trust, relationship focused environment for those that you work with and work around, then you really have to give large consideration to how vulnerable are you willing to be and making that line to say, I am or I'm not. And either way is totally fine, but you just need to decide so you are showing up consistently as a leader.
Yeah. I think it's worth the effort. It makes you as a leader grow. It's one thing that I've heard before, and I heard it on a podcast this morning, which was Chris Paul was on a Rich Roll podcast, and he said some people mistake his kindness for weakness, and I've had people say that to me as well, and I think that's the key thing is vulnerability and authenticity are not weakness, they're strength.
Agreed.
But it's a different type of strength that for the longest time, the business world has not been used to. But I do believe it's the way to build a sustainable long-term culture in today's society. Again, hard, but valuable and worth it.
Agreed. Well, Tim, it's been great having this dialogue with you today. I know we are constantly having discussions online and offline about how we are moving our culture forward, and being able to bring these experiences to our listeners is just, I personally feel really impactful. So thanks for the dialogue.
Well, I enjoy it as always. And yeah, it's fun. It's a challenge at times, but it's a challenge worth tackling because of the outcomes you create in people's lives. So thank you.